It is now time for the Chatham County Roundup, presented by Weaver Street Realty, specializing in local real estate since 1982. Every story is set somewhere. Theirs is right here. You can find them online at weaverstreetrealty.com. And you can find more on Chatham County government at chathamnc.org. And we're joined today by County Commissioner Karen Howard. Commissioner, thank you so much for being with us today. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me back.
So, obviously, the kind of the top story for this early part of the week has been Hurricane Isaias moving through North Carolina. Luckily, we didn't get hit too hard this far inland, but it's a good reminder as we get further into hurricane season that we need to be prepared as individuals, as families, as households, and as communities. So, with that in mind, like looking ahead to the rest of August and September, October into November, what should folks know about just emergency preparedness in general, and what's the county doing to get ready?
So I think one thing that people should just know in general is that it's even more critical that we have those emergency supplies on hand during the pandemic and as a potential hurricane approaches, that the ease with which we've been able to rush out and queue up in large numbers at, you know, the home stores and at the grocery stores, may not be the case this time. And I think it's going to be even more important that we anticipate potential disruptions through hurricane and we stock up on food and water and supplies and entertainment to the extent we are able. The county is also working to make sure that we have supplies in hand and that we also have places where families can go if they need to evacuate. It's going to be a little trickier this hurricane season, because we do have the additional burden of ensuring that people can maintain that social distancing. But we are looking at that, and we are developing plans along with the school system to ensure that we do have access to emergency shelter if we are directly impacted in this region. Luckily, we're far enough inland that we don't tend to have large numbers of families displaced, but it is possible. It has happened before.
And you've got, I know, family and connection still in the Caribbean, so you're very aware of how serious this can be, right?
Yes, and we don't take it lightly. You know, and I grew up in the Bahamas, and we are kind of in that area where storms hit frequently. And we don't take it lightly just because we've been through a lot. I think we take it even more seriously. And I think that's, I think North Carolinians, I know they're the hurricane parties, but North Carolinians tend to be fairly practical and thoughtful when it comes to preparing. And I hope we'll do that again this time around.
There is a lot that we're having to face, not just now in the fall as we get into hurricane season and as schools start to reopen again and everything, but we are also in the midst of a pandemic. And I know we just got the word today from Chatham County health officials about a couple of incidents, but just events, a memorial gathering and a funeral from last week, where people went there and ended up testing positive for COVID-19 afterwards. So what should folks know?
So the positive part of that story right now is that it sounds as though at the funeral service, there was a requirement for masks and social distancing. So my hope is that would mitigate the risk to the people that attended. And I know it's incredibly difficult to be dealing with the pandemic and then to lose a loved one. My father is gravely ill in the Bahamas, and I know that it's just a matter of time before he passes. And I think often about the added pain of not being able to be there and support my mother and grieve with my family. But I also recognize that we're in such unusual circumstances that it is an act of love on my part to not travel to the Bahamas and potentially expose my elderly mother and other elderly relatives to the virus when they've been so careful about keeping themselves away from the general public. And so my hope is that, you know, that practice of social distancing and wearing masks made the difference at that event. And it's a painful reminder that we are not, you know, the reason that we are gathering does not give us any immunity. And so it's perfectly understandable that a family would come together at a time like that. It doesn't provide any degree of protection. And I think that is a difficulty that we're going to have to understand and find a way to live with, because I'm certain that the people that were infected are now, on top of having the virus, are carrying an immense amount of guilt and a sense of responsibility for having exposed so many more people. And so it's very unfortunate. And these kinds of events are potential opportunities for significant community spread. So I do caution everybody, you know, to look at this as a cautionary tale, and we're going to have to make some tough personal choices when someone in our family or within our inner circles passes away during the virus, if we really want to protect ourselves and our families and that extended community from the additional risk of gathering.
Staying on that subject, as we start looking ahead to later in the month when schools start reopening. I know we've talked about this before, but right now, as we look ahead to that, what is on your mind, both as a county commissioner and an elected official, and also as a parent with kids in school?
I have felt as though I wouldn't want to be on school board. I wouldn't want to be a superintendent. But I really do feel as though they have collectively made the best decision that they can with the information that is available to them now. I don't think it was easy. I don't think it's easy for families. Certainly, I'm very lucky that my children are older and I'm able to do most of my work from home, as is my kid's dad. But I will also add is that last week I participated in a call for children, families of children with exceptionalities, so children with special needs. Mm-hmm. And I listened to some of the challenges that are facing other families. And I realized that there is not a solution that is good and kind and safe for many of these families. If you have a significantly impaired or impacted child who cannot be left at home, what does that do to the parent's ability to work if instruction is remote? If you have a child whose every service is delivered through the school, so your speech and language therapy, your behavioral therapies, all cognitive therapies are delivered by the professionals in the school setting, most families cannot afford to do that privately. And if you can, it's not necessarily available locally. And so listening to those stories, and, you know, I did reach out to school board and superintendent to just try to talk through and remind everyone that there are families and situations and circumstances that are dire. Mm-hmm. And not every family is going to be able to receive a packet of information, whether it's by paper or an online class, and assist their child with learning. And hearing those stories brought that home in a painful but important way. And I think we need to change the conversation, not just in Chatham. There needs to be a local conversation in North Carolina about what education for special needs populations looks like. And there is only so much that a parent can do based on their child's needs. And so if we're asking a household to parent and educate, I think we're setting up a situation and a circumstance for most households that will not work.
Are there resources that are available for parents who are in that situation?
Very little. Mm-hmm. Very little. And so you have to have access to personal resources and able to get the benefit of those resources. So there are online therapeutic groups, but you have to be able to afford them. And, you know, so much, it's such a heartbreaking situation, really. You know, I think of if my son were not, if I could not leave him at home alone, and I had to take him to the grocery store. And, you know, there was a time when he was very small when, you know, going to the grocery store was a difficulty. Going to a restaurant or someone else's home often didn't work out. If I had to do that during the pandemic and work outside of the house, I don't know how I would have done it. And I think, you know, there's desperation in some of those parents' voices as they try to contemplate what are their options if they can't feed and house and clothe and care for themselves and their child and work and educate the child. And it is a really difficult circumstance, and I don't know that there is a viable option right now.
Speaking with County Commissioner Karen Howard, ChathamNC.org for more information on county government. We're looking at the start of the school year, which is coming up later on this month. Obviously, we're always also looking ahead at Election Day, which is another huge event in 2020 that's going to be coming up in just a matter of a couple of months, which, thank goodness, on the one hand, this campaign season will be over. But on the other hand, it's coming up quick, and preparations have to be made in the middle of a pandemic, both to staff the polls and to get people ready to vote either in person or during early voting or absentee, which a lot of people are going to be taking advantage of this year. What should voters know, first of all?
I think they should know, first of all, that those options are available, that early voting will happen. That voting by mail, absentee voting, is absolutely an option for every Chatham County resident, and that the county is taking and the Board of Elections is taking extraordinary steps to ensure that we can ensure social distancing, not just for the people that are working at the polls, but for the people that are coming to the polls. And I think that we will certainly weather this storm. People need to stay abreast of the information so that they know which sites will be available. But we have this year some dedicated sites that we did not have access to last year. So that should ensure, certainly in the North Chatham area where the population is dense, a lot of the population in the retirement communities is older and therefore in a higher risk category. There will be at least one or two additional voting sites, and that's going to be important. But I encourage everyone to vote by mail, and you can drop off your ballot at the elections, and there will be safe and secure ways to drop it off during early voting. But it's such an essential, this is such a core aspect of being an American citizen. Is our right and our ability to select the people that are in leadership. I do not like campaigning. I don't like the campaign season at all, but I understand why we do it and why we do it the way that we do, to ensure that everybody feels as though they have a voice, and the right to vote is such a critical aspect of our citizenship.
Other things going on in Chatham County that folks ought to know about?
So we still have we're still having our pop-up parks are still happening. There's additional things happening through our library services. I do want to always remind people that there are library services available for all age groups. So I have teenagers and young adults, and they are, they're a age group that think there's not that much excitement happening in a library, but there is. There are things available through the library services for youth. And, I encourage everybody to do that, do more, and even some access to fun games online. And there's also a fun little thing that I will give a shout out to at the plant in Pittsboro. There is an art walk. That's a perfect opportunity for social distancing. You go around and you read the scan codes on art. It tells you who the local artist was. They're all North Carolina artists. And it's a great way to be outside, keep the kids busy. They can run around. And my goal is always to try to find something that I can enjoy and these teenagers can enjoy. It's not always easy, but that's a good one.
Again, ChathamCountyNC.org for more information on county government. A lot of info there about Chatham County. Karen Howard, County Commissioner, thank you so much for being with us today.
Absolutely. My pleasure.